Live from spring training, American Family Fields of Phoenix, we are continuing with coverage here on Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ, your home of the Brewers. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for clicking on the pod here tonight. If you want to just take a breather from the Aaron Rodgers discourse, if you want to take a breather from everything going on in free agency and trades, things of that nature, we got a little baseball news to talk about, and no better guest to talk about it with than the one, the only, Vinny Rotino. So I'm posting this here tonight, Wednesday the 15th, in preparation for a lot of stuff going down Thursday the 16th. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, go check out my Twitter. It's in the description. It's in the notes to find out what might be happening on the day-to-day basis. Now, remember, we're 2 hours behind you guys back in Wisconsin here in Arizona. But big things happening on Thursday. One, Matt Arnold will be speaking to the media. We're getting an update on the Luke Voit situation because he has an out on his clause as a minor league player. We have more on that coming up with Vinny as well. And the other thing is, right now, the Brewers, we're waiting to see if it's going to rain or not. You'll know by the time you're listening to this if there's a game or not here in Scottsdale, getting ready for the Brewers and the Diamondbacks at Salt River Fields. We don't know about that, so maybe more at-bats potentially for Luke Voit here on Wednesday night before they have to make a decision. So more on that coming up with Vinny Rotino. Before we get into him, there's two interviews I want to play from you that I've gathered this week. One from Jesse Winker, just overall talking about his defense, talking about what he plans to bring here with the Brewers, and also a candidate, a serious candidate for this bullpen, and I bring him up with Vinny as well, Tyson Miller. Tyson Miller has turned some heads so far this spring training, and I really want to play that audio for you here as well. But first, let's do a couple of housekeeping notes here as well. If you haven't listened or watched as well on YouTube, my interviews with Brandon Woodruff and Mike Brosso, I really recommend them. I hope you enjoy them as much as I did recording and talking to these guys. They were a whole lot of fun. They're here on the feed as well on Brewers Extra Innings. And there are more coming. I'm keeping the guests close to the vest on that. So there'll be the next one of those will drop next week. And then we'll have one more in the final week of spring training as well. So keep an eye out for those last two sit-down conversations we're having throughout spring training with some of the big names of the Brewers. Another note, if you haven't seen the documentary video, the first part of the freshman series talking about the Brewers prospects done by the Brewers social media team, what are you waiting for? It's phenomenal. I'll have a link in the description there as well. 10 out of 10, fantastic content, and there's more coming. My hat is tipped to the Brewers social media team and to their content team. Incredible, incredible work on this, following Joey Weimer, Sal Frelick, Garrett Mitchell, Bryce Terang, a mention of Jackson Chourio in there as well. The language gap is part of it, though, too. But, man, really, really good stuff. The freshman on the Brewers YouTube page is really, really good as well. So let me get to this audio before we get to Vinny, too. Let's first hear from Jesse Winker and his outlook this season.
Jesse, you've had a few starts in left field now. It's a position that you're getting back used to, given last year you played it, playing through injuries as well. First of all, how's the body feeling, and what do you need to adjust to getting back into left field?
First and foremost, my body's feeling good. It's been a great progression. And getting back into left field, it's just really getting used to the day-to-day of playing the field again. As I say again, just coming off the two surgeries, back in the game speed and back in the game shape. It's just reps, really.
When it comes to having to wait to get into actual game action, but you were getting lives, you were getting chances to see pitching, but getting reps in the outfield is not quite as easy. So how do you go about getting your preparation with that?
Yeah, just doing our daily work with Q. There's the best form of practice is batting practice. It's like when guys are probably hitting the ball the hardest and everything. But you just need to play. That's why we have spring training. It's to get out there and play and knock the rust off.
When you look at your performance in the outfield, when you look at some of the numbers that they can put in front of you, what do you see as areas that you would want to improve on defensively as a left fielder or right fielder, wherever you end up playing?
Kind of everywhere. It's just first step, arm strength, just everywhere. Just make an overall improvement. That's all I wanted to do this year is just improve in the outfield.
when guys talk about DHing full-time, it kind of, there's a disconnect there. If like, oh, I want to stay locked into the game when I'm in the defense, but now you seems like you're going to have a chance to play a good amount of outfield. Do you feel that as far as when you're DHing, that there's a disconnection of being able to follow along with the game? Do you have that sympathy, or do you recognize that other guys talk about?
No, just because like I've done it before, and when I'm, you know, it's our job to be locked in to the task at hand, and if it's DHing that day, it's fine. You're getting half the day off with your body, so it's going to be beneficial for me in that regards. Especially coming off of two surgeries, it's going to be, you're going to be able to get a breather from running out to the outfield. But it's my job to stay locked in. Like, you know, we're playing a game, yes, but there's a task at hand, and it's not fair to everybody else to not be locked in just because you're DHing. That's just not fair. So, it's, you know, it's our job when it's time to DH to the best of your ability.
And lastly, when it comes to your, you know, approach at the plate, your strike zone discipline is really darn good. So what would you take us into your process of, you know, obviously your ball strike recognition is very good, but you never really are out of account. Like we saw a 10-pitch at-bat the other day. What do you really, you know, hang your hat on is that you're proud of with your approach at the plate?
I honestly just want to be a tough out, and I want to make it hard. I think the easy thing to do is just to go up and free swing and hope for something good, but I want to have every at bat, I want to accomplish something, and I want to make it tough on the pitcher more times than not. We all know the numbers in this game. It's, you know, it's hitting's challenging, and you know, but I just want to be, I want to be tough. I don't want it to be just another guy that comes up and you can breeze right through, you know, and I want to have multiple clubs in the bag and be able to adjust on the fly.
Jesse Winker joining us on WTMJ. Thanks for the time and good health this season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm really intrigued to see what Jesse can do this year. And Craig Counsell's talked about the fact that jumps can really help him, maybe analyzing those jumps a little bit better and understanding the problem that is there for him. And they're insisting they want to see him play defense this year. So they may know something that we don't, and they feel more encouraged about it than we do maybe, and health probably has a big reason to do with that. So we'll see what happens with Jesse Winker out in the field. Now let's get to the next bit of audio. You may not remember when Tyson Miller was acquired right before the Rule 5 draft and the Rule 5 roster deadline. He was claimed off waivers from the Texas Rangers. He has one option year remaining, so even if he doesn't make this big league club, he can be optioned down to AAA. We will probably see him at some point this season, if not next. He has been used as a multi-inning reliever, and his numbers are absolutely bonkers so far here in spring training. For Tyson this spring, 4 games, 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Pretty darn good. Hey, if you want to say what you want about spring training, I understand, but the dude's performing. So let's hear straight from Tyson Miller.
Tyson, this is your first year in the organization. You've had a really solid spring so far. What have you learned about your pitching and what you're trying to do here in spring training as you really audition really for the Brewers?
Just learned how to keep things simple. Hook and Jim have been telling me what stuff works, what doesn't, how to pitch tunnel certain pitches. So just, I have a lot of pitches, and they want me to keep it simple with my stuff instead of trying to throw everything.
So what are the things that you've simplified now? What are you rolling out with currently in spring training?
Just new looks. I mean, we tried different pitches against lefties than what I've been going in the past with. But, yeah, certain pitches we throw to righties, certain pitches we throw to lefties. Getting my plant foot down, getting over my front leg, that was a huge part of mechanics going into the offseason and coming into spring training. And I think we fixed a lot of mechanical stuff to keep me more consistent.
You mentioned in a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about how when you were going through this process of the waivers and hoping, you know, maybe if you're a free agent, you could pick kind of who you wanted. And then one of the teams that you would have liked to have gone to was the Brewers. And, of course, they claim you. Mm-hmm. What were the things that you've noticed from afar maybe and now have you confirmed being within the organization as to why you wanted to be with the Brewers?
The pitching development side behind it, it's very bold statement to just say pitching development because we can't really get too much into it, but no, just how they identify with everyone here, especially all the new guys, talking with them of like something that really works for them, why it works, and then expanding on that and mastering that. So for me, with some pitches work better than others. I know I'm not a B-low guy, so I got to be able to make stuff spin and move around and hit spots. So they've been helping me with that.
When it comes to performances in spring training, it's obviously a game, or a team, I should say, that has a lot of spots available in the bullpen. You can't think about that when you're on the mound. But as you put your best foot forward, how would you assess your performances so far here in spring training?
I would say this is one of my better ones that I've had. Overall, happy. We established early with Hook with the live BP that didn't go so well. And just like, don't worry about results, just worry about the process and developing and getting better. And so coming into this spring training, I was like trying to fight for a spot, and didn't want to dwell too much on the results if things go bad or if things go good. Just kind of keep it consistent and level playing field, or level head.
What do you see for your role if you were to make the team onto the big league opening day roster? What would you see your role could be here with the Brewers?
Make hitters uncomfortable in the box, but role-wise as a bullpen guy, probably be like a 2-plus inning guy, maybe cleanup guy. Who knows? Whatever they want me to do, I'll do. So
that's Tyson Miller joining us here. Thanks for the time.
Cool. Thank you.
This is something that we can really look forward to because Brewers getting their hands on. He's clearly excited to be here, right? So give Tyson Miller a shot, and maybe good things could really happen. So we get into some more bullpen discussion as well with Vinny coming up here in just a moment. You know what? Why delay any longer? Thanks for tuning in. Let's get to our conversation with Vinny Rotino. Hey, old friends. Getting back together here on a radio show, on a podcast or whatever. Vinny Rotino joining us here on the show. Vinny, first of all, congratulations on a few more games coming to you this year on television. Can you share with some news with that with the fans?
Yeah, so Rock is going to make very few road trips. So he is just going to be doing the home games. And so they're given an opportunity here to Dillard and I couldn't be more excited. So I'm really excited. Not sure exactly how it's all going to be mapped out, but I do have that first 10-day road trip in Arizona, San Diego, and Seattle. So I am cramming very, very hard for those teams and for the Brewers, but I'm so excited to be part of this broadcast team. So much fun. Love talking baseball. Get to work with guys like you, Brian Anderson and Jeff Levering. And it's just been such a fun ride for me so far. I like this more than playing, Dom, believe it or not.
Whoa, pause. Tap the brakes there, man. I know how you are when you were playing. Yeah. But so obviously we won't have you here on WTMJ this season, but I am happy to share that Jeff Cirillo will be stepping in over here, one of your good buddies. Really excited to have Cirillo in. We'll still have Augie and we'll still have Craig Kishon on Brewers Extra Innings. But I wanted to get that out of the way first because we'll see a lot more of Vinny Rotino this coming baseball season.
Yeah, no, and you guys will be in good hands with Rillo, obviously contributing as an analyst on the show, on the postgame show. He's so knowledgeable. I had a chance to spend basically a week with him down in fantasy camp. If you ever get a chance to go, anybody listening, you have to go to fantasy camp. It's so much fun. Guys, gals, whatever. And you get to hear Jeff Cirillo stories and Greg Vaughn stories, and those can't be beat. I got to tell you, it's just a great time. But you guys will be in good hands with Rillo as an analyst.
Just look out for Eddie Cedar's air horn, though. All right, just always be on the lookout for that. I loved your Instagrams of those.
The daily Eddie Cedar air horn. It was my favorite thing to do, actually. He is such a treat.
We got a lot of baseball on the way. I mean, if you're listening to this on Thursday the 16th, we are exactly 2 weeks away from baseball, from real baseball. And it seems like it's just flown by. As we joke, like, oh, spring training never ends. But like, truly, I remember arriving here yesterday and thinking, all right, you know, normal spring training, and it has flown by. So that's how you know it was a normal spring training, because you feel like, oh my goodness, how am I ever going to get everything ready? What's this team look like? But I came to the realization today, talking with a few guys in the clubhouse, Vinny, this team's kind of boring because there isn't that much conflict or position battles. There's a lot of questions in the bullpen, to be fair, but we kind of have a feeling of what this team's going to look like, and it's not going to surprise anybody, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe that last spot on the bench and then that last bullpen spot as well. But yeah, there's no big surprises, as you said. Do not put it past, I will just say, as a Brewer fan for these last, you know, 30 years of my life, right? But I mean, 40, I have been a Brewer fan my entire life, but I'm saying, I guess the last few years with Stearns and Matt Arnold at the helm, do not be surprised if something happens where all of a sudden you find a name that's on this team that you didn't expect. You just never know. You just never do know. But yes, as it sits right now, it doesn't seem like that it will be the case. But right, it doesn't seem, you know, too, you know, controversial in terms of any battles. I guess the one name that I would say does pose some level of controversy is Keston Hira, right? So mm-hmm. is he going to be on the team? Is he on? Is he off? And, you know, I'd love to get your take on that. But that one is a little bit interesting for me.
It's really weird because it actually kind of is a domino effect right now. And as we were posting this here on Wednesday night, the 15th, we will know the answer to this question tomorrow, Thursday, the 16th. In regards to Luke Voit, because that impacts Keston as well. So let's start with Luke and then get into Keston. So Luke Voit has an out in his minor league contract. So he was signed on a minor league deal, and that out is today, the 16th, if you will, if you're listening to this the day after. So we will know whether or not he's actually going to be in the picture for the Brewers. Now, he doesn't have an out as far as being on the 26-man, but he has to be placed on the 40-man roster today, the 16th, in order for him to stay. Otherwise, he can choose to leave at his own will and go find another opportunity where he could be on a 40-man roster. So let's just start this exercise. You know, if Voit does make the 40-man roster and does make this team, he still is the backup first baseman, which in that regard, in my opinion, would most definitely eliminate Keston Hira. The only exception to that would be if Keston can keep, you know, they want to stick Keston around as an outfielder. So I'll start with, if Voit stays, the odds for Keston to stay are slim to none. How about you?
They're slimmer. I would think because of the Tyrone Taylor elbow injury, and he's not going to be ready until May, perhaps, is what I've been reading. And so that is a little bit more of a serious injury than we originally suspected. There's some sort of strain in there in that elbow ligament. They gave him a PRP injection. So it takes time for that injection to kind of take hold, if you will, within the elbow joint there. So the fact that Tyrone Taylor is out now and Garrett Mitchell, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, yeah, it has a little bit of a hamstring pull. So that's a little bit scary as well. But the fact that you do have such you're short on your outfield depth, in my opinion, Keston, actually, that's his best position. Now, we can argue whether or not it's good out there in the corner outfield, but to me, that is his best position. He looks like a fish out of water a little bit at first, at second, you know. So for now, it's DH in left and right field. Now, he has been getting some time out there. I haven't seen a whole lot of action, a whole lot of opportunities for him to showcase what he can do in the corner outfield. But remember, last year we saw him make that great play against the wall in left field. I do think he has some instincts out there to play. Now, that gets to the question of what's his bat going to do, right? So we've seen flashes where he could just carry the team, but then we also saw the 40% strikeout rate. So is the team going to just ride that out more? I don't know. I'm a scout at heart, right? And I love his talent. I mean, you hear scouts say that this is the most talented college hitter they have ever seen. And we saw glimpses of that, right, in 2019. And then what happened, right? So, it would be if you had to DFA Keston Hira, to me, that is a little bit of a controversy. That is a little bit of this is one of the most talented players, talented hitters that we saw in 2019. We thought he was going to carry the team in 2020 and 2021. Just hasn't worked out. I'm very interested to see what the Brewers are going to do in this situation. Honestly, either way, you kind of like say, okay, I get it, right? If they DFA him or if they keep him, you kind of have to say, okay, I understand. On either side, it's kind of a coin flip, to be honest.
It's performance-based if he gets DFA'd, right? It's like, look, you have three straight years of data to say, look, he had a chance, he had a chance, he had a chance. And I know deep down in your heart, deep down in Brewers fans' hearts, want to see that guy from 2019 show up. But look, he's had 3 years to show up, and he hasn't shown up. So I feel that. But on the other side of that coin, it's this built-up equity, right? It's this built-up, like, well, we know what he can do. The familiarity and his willingness to move positions is certainly valid and certain something worth that. So I see it both ways. So that's where I think this is now me talking in this prediction, going back to Luke Voit. If they decide to decline on Luke Voit and say, you know what, we sign you on a minor league deal. You have an out. We don't really have a ton of room on the 40 man. Let's go ahead and let him walk. And they let Luke Voit walk. That, in my opinion, virtually locks Keston on this right. era to start the season. I want to be clear about that. I could very much see the Brewers starting the season with Keston Hira. And if a month and a half, 2 months go by, and we see the 40% strikeout rate and the all or nothing swing, more of the same. Tyrone will be back by then. Frelick will probably be ready too by then too, if he gets held down. That might be the day that it comes. I think that's where the Brewers are leaning right now. And by the time we're listening to this, I could be wrong too. But if I were the Brewers, I'd say, you know what, Keston, you've built up this equity. We're giving you a chance as a just-in-case in left field until Winker's for sure ready. If we need to give Yelich a day off, we're facing a bunch of lefties. Got to prove it against lefties, my man.
Yep.
But
yep.
That's where I stand with Keston.
And I think that would be a solid choice. And I'm leaning that way too, Dom, just for the record. I am leaning that way. I do understand if they would go the other direction too, right? I think in their minds, it's like a 50-50 coin flip. But, you know, Luke Voit, if you do stick with Luke Voit, look, the last two seasons, that's a 30% strikeout rate too. I'm looking at the numbers mm-hmm. on FanGraphs. And so, and he doesn't hit lefties either. He hasn't hit lefties. So it's kind of a reverse split guy as well. And there isn't as much defensive versatility that Keston does have as, you know, an emergency guy more so at second. And we'll see what it looks like in the corner outfield. But man, Luke, I tell you what, Luke Voit is not making a strong case to let him walk in spring training. And I know it is just spring training, but that will factor in. The media, on Brewers.com, they're building a nice, strong case to keep him. So it is a tough decision, I'm sure, for the Brewers front office. And Luke Voit is not making it easy on them. He did have the down year last year, and they're talking. He was talking about he didn't feel quite as healthy as he wanted to. I think on the back knee, I believe he was kind of pulling off balls. He really couldn't use his mm-hmm. lower half, so he's really upper half type of a dominant swing. And so you can see that could be a case to, you know, hey, this guy's healthy, maybe he's gonna show glimpses of more what he did in New York. But I'm leaning more towards giving Keston the opportunity if it is in fact okay, keep one or the other.
Yeah, and I think in my opinion too, there's a ripple with adding Voit, right? Because now, there are a couple 40-man spots. We'll get into that when we talk about the bullpen. But there are technically a couple 40-man spots available for now. But with Keston already on it, it's a little easier. And then, like I said, you can cut ties down the road with him. I think something a little more interesting on the bench, too. We talk about the last spot on the bench. Look, Caratini's on the team. Brasso's on the team. But that other utility role, I think that's down to Owen Miller and Abraham Toro. And there's important context here. Owen Miller, he's got two option years remaining. Toro, he's only got one option year remaining. So if you were to option Toro this year, that means all of a sudden you're in this boat again next spring training where you have to decide if you're going to keep him or if he's going to go. So I think this also impacts on whether or not they keep Voit and keep Keston. But it's been hard to turn away what Owen Miller's been doing, not just with the bat, but willing to play a little bit of center field in Garrett Mitchell's absence, trying to make himself a little more versatile. I'm not saying Owen Miller is going to be a Gold Glover in center field, but he'll be average at best, I think, just like yep. he is on the infield. He will be serviceable where he serves. So where do you see the competition shaking out between Owen Miller and Abraham Toro?
Toro does give you just a hair more defensive versatility, I think, just because, look, neither of them, all reports say neither of them are better than average. This is pretty good, an average major league infielder. And so I think they're both in the same boat in that regard. I do think Toro's got more experience playing at the major league level, both at second and third. Owen Miller played almost exclusively at first base for the Guardians last year. So I do think maybe that might give, not to say Owen can't play second and third as well. He can. I just don't think he had the opportunity to prove that he can actually, you know, play it as much at the major league level. So I do think that does give the slight edge to Toro if it is the competition there. Owen Miller is a better athlete than Toro, though. And like you said, he can play out in center field, can give you a little bit more defensive versatility on the grass, which is a big deal because, again, they are so thin out there on the grass with their outfield alignment right now. So Owen Miller hit 400 last year, Dom, in the month of April. He led Major League Baseball in the month of April in hitting. Now, he fell off after that. So it's in there, right? This is this cheesehead, this Wisconsin-born player. It's in there that he can hit, and he can hit at the major league level. I think he's just got to prove that he can be a little bit more consistent in doing so. Both players are intriguing. As of right now, based on that one option, like I do, and I've always really liked Toro, and I hate saying this because I'm going to be pulling for Owen Miller like you wouldn't believe, but I think maybe just a little more seasoning at the AAA level. If it is between those two guys, I would keep Toro right now. The switch hitting ability, the proven ability to play second and third as well. I think that does give him the edge, but I am a huge Owen Miller fan. He's going to help the team a lot this year.
And the proven second and third is especially key of another domino with the Brian Anderson, Luis Urias domino, because right. Brian Anderson can play right field, and he may be asked to play a little more right field than we expect because of Tyrone Taylor's absence, depending on this construction coming out of spring training, because they need a right-handed bat out there. Otherwise, they become very left-handed. We know how the Brewers rely on the platoons, which would mean if Anderson is in right, Urias would probably go to third, or Brasso goes to third, and then Urias stays at second, or Toro. There's a bunch of different ways that you could look at that. Toro being a switch hitter obviously helps his case too. And I think I'm with you. If Miller is getting consistent at bats and hits his way back onto the team in AAA, kudos to him. He's earned it. But that second option here just makes it a little bit more of a slow play for Owen. That's the business of baseball. It's the way things work. And it is kind of working against him, even though he is having a very strong spring training.
Yeah, and it's nice to have a guy like that as depth in the minor leagues too, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have a bunch of these different options as depth, as we saw last year, more on the pitching side of things. But, you know, injuries do factor into how your team is going to perform at the major league level, and every single win counts. So you are definitely going to want guys that can – that aren't just, you know, the so to speak replacement level type of player, and you want them to be ready to contribute in a big way at the major league level. Owen Miller's a third rounder, and he is a very talented player. He can hit, like I said, 400 in April last year. So this is a player. Owen Miller is a player that can help and actually help your team and not just be kind of a fill in guy. So you definitely want him ready.
And looking at the outfield right now, there's another interesting battle happening, trying to figure out what's happening in right field. Now, look, the Brewers kind of have like 4-5-ish outfielders right now: Yelich, Winker, Mitchell, and then the ish being, does Tyler Naquin make this team? He's also on a minor league deal. Do you have Sal Frelick shock the world and make this team? Now, I've been screaming this from the rooftops, and I am sticking to this take, even though I know it's probably going to be wrong. I'm putting Sal Frelick on my opening day roster. I know why the Brewers are probably not going to put him on the opening day roster for the business of baseball, you know, things, the service time stuff, the not starting his clock too soon when you have Tyrone Taylor on his way back. But a quote from Craig Counsell has stuck with me is that every test we have put in front of Sal, he has passed the test. So I'm like, well, what else is the dude supposed to do? Is he going to, this is me talking now, okay? Do you have a better chance of winning a game with Tyler Naquin or Sal Frelick in this first 2 months of the season? And to me, it's Sal Frelick. No disrespect to Tyler Naquin. I think it's an exciting type player. He's going to be hitting ninth. Let's not act like he's going to instantly go into leadoff spot here. I just see an avenue for Sal to make the team, even though I know he's probably not going to, and it most likely will be Tyler Naquin.
Dom, here's my Sal Frelick story. Okay, so I'm watching the draft. I'm like, you know, Sal Frelick, oh my goodness. They could have had a couple other players that I really like, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, okay, so now you watch the video and you're thinking, okay, you're thinking a Brett Gardner is the ceiling when you watch video on him. And you're like, okay, that's a pretty good player, right? He's an everyday major leaguer. He's a, you know, what they call a role five or a 50. Like, you know, he can contribute to a everyday player on a world championship team. Dom, I went down. I was sitting next to you in the booth calling a couple of games last week, a couple of weeks ago in spring training, and I'm watching Sal Frelick play, and I was just amazed. The player that Sal Frelick is he is better than a role five. He is better than an everyday player. This is an above average player. I would throw a 60, maybe even a 65 on him right now, which means he's a future all-star type of a player. Just scouting him out. I mean, he does everything. He does everything. He is. So what you see on video is not who this guy is. This is a very, very impactful player. At the end of the day, he's going to be a leader of your team as well. So he's got the intangibles to go with all the tools that he has. His tools stand out when you do watch him live. He is stronger than he looks. He can juice a ball over the fence and in the gaps. He can run the bases, and he's at least a plus runner, maybe more. He's instinctual on the bases. He plays with grit. He plays with energy. He's an old school type of a guy. He can play center field. I'm not saying it's like plus or even a, you know, double plus or anything like that, but he could definitely play center field at the major league level. So I was blown away by how good Sal Frelick is. Now, should he make the team? I'm with you, Dom. He should. You don't want to know why? Because I get the business of baseball part of it. I get the can't start this guy's clock because now you're going to get him for one less year. I totally get that. But now with the new CBA, guess what? Julio Rodriguez last year just earned the Seattle Mariners a first round draft pick this year. Now that's what the Brewers could gain if Sal Frelick wins Rookie of the Year, which to me,
or top three. He can even finish top three. Doesn't even win it.
Right. You're right. Yeah. So top three in the Rookie of the Year voting. Now, is he better than Corbin Carroll and a couple other rookies? You could argue that he is. You could argue that he is on the same level as Corbin Carroll, and maybe even does a couple of things better than him. Now, he's not as fast, but
he's the fastest player in baseball.
Yeah, correct. But he can, you know, play center field. He can spell Garrett Mitchell if you need to. I mean, he can hit. He can flat out hit. And he's a winning type of player. I really like him, and I agree with you. At the end of the day, do you want him to help you win ball games in these first couple of months of the season? The answer is yes. Now the business side of things has to factor into this scenario, which to me, the new CBA takes care of that. So I am all for the, you know, the free Sal Frelick campaign.
But I think, and now this will lead us into our 40-man and into the bullpen before we let you go. But I think one thing that's holding Sal back is he's not on the 40-man. There will need to be a corresponding move. But then I counter saying, wait a minute, neither is Tyler Naquin. He would need to be added to the 40-man as well. And then there's your argument, look, it's probably easier to cut Tyler Naquin to then bring up Sal when Tyrone is ready. You know, then you get a little more natural balance in that outfield. There could be other injuries that pop up too. And I want to be clear. I want Sal to be on this roster, but if I was predicting what this roster is going to look like, I don't think he's on the roster. And I don't want anyone to be surprised by that. I don't want anyone to be mad at the Brewers for that, because look, we're not surprised. And it's also, Tyler Naquin is a big league player. He's had some slow stats and things of that nature. And quite frankly, it's one of those things, it's a safety net. Is Tyler Naquin going to finish the season with the Brewers? I'd be shocked, right? We're going to see Sal Frelick in the big leagues this year. There's not a doubt in my mind, assuming health. So there is the business of baseball side of it too. So that'll lead us to the 40-man here, the 40-man in the bullpen. So in my opinion right now, look, they haven't put Aaron Ashby on the 60-day IL, and he just threw a flat ground today, his first flat ground since the PRP. He is maybe best case scenario mid-May, which 60-day would still fit for him. So there's one 40-man spot available. They also have not put Justin Wilson on the 60-day IL yet while he recovers from Tommy John surgery. So that's two 40-man spots available. And here's another wild card spot. Remember, Gus Varland, if they decide to keep Gus or not, that could open up a spot. That could be three 40-man spots available if they decide to let Gus Varland go back to the Dodgers. So I guess Gus will start our conversation with the bullpen and with the 40-man. Does Gus Varland at this moment, you know, with 2 weeks left of camp, make your Brewers roster?
Well, if he makes it, then who's left off, right? So that means that Bryce Wilson has to be left off. Just counting the spots, right? You have Adrian Hauser, assuming that he's going to be in the bullpen and be that swing guy. So that's one. You have Devin Williams is two, Matt Bush three, Hobie Milner four, Strzelecki five. Those are five guarantees. Now you have three more spots for a bunch of guys, right? So Javi Guerra, he's got to make the team. Otherwise, he's out of options, so he's going to be DFA'd. I think he is on the team just considering that is a high upside arm. They did give up something for him. So I think he is actually on the team. And Yoel Piamps as well, he had a really nice year. He looks pretty good this spring. He's kind of a veteran, more of a veteran type of a presence. Just naming off the guys that I did name, it's a little bit like scary. Not scary, because I do believe in Peter Strzelecki and Hobie Miller. They're just not those veteran type of arms that a Brad Boxberger was. So I think Piamps is on the team as well. So that's seven. So now who do you go with? So it's Bryce Wilson has to make the team. Again, more of a veteran type of a reliable, you know what you're going to get, even though he was pretty bad as a starter last year for the Pirates. But maybe you got something out of the pen right here. He is showing promise with that split finger fastball this spring. So if Wilson makes it, that means Varlin doesn't. And then Varlin does have to go back to the Dodgers. I like Gus Varlin. It's pretty good stuff that we've seen from him. Right, this spring. I mean, it's got a nasty hammer breaking ball. It's up to 95. He, as well as he performed and will probably continue to perform this spring, Dom, I don't know if he probably gets squeezed out for me. What do you think?
I think there's a couple ways we can look at this.
Okay.
I think there's another name in here that you didn't mention that I think is very intriguing, and that's Tyson Miller. And before I had you on, I played some audio, some time I had with Tyson Miller. And he's another multi-inning type guy. And how many multi-inning guys do you really need between Hauser, between Wilson, between Miller, right? You got so many. And even Piamps can throw multiple innings. Piamps can get you five outs if you need.
Right.
So I look at that and I'm like, man, there's something's got to give here. And look, the Bryce Wilson trade was depth at the time. And that was before Wade Miley arrived too. So they were probably looking at, you know, Wilson being that current Adrian Hauser role and Hauser being the fifth guy. But now the Wade Miley move has pushed everybody back and the Ashby move has pushed everybody back. So things are a little bit interesting in that regard. I don't want to forget about Tyson Miller. I would love to see the Brewers figure out a way, because remember, as a Rule 5 pick, you can still trade for the guy technically and keep him.
Right.
What you can do is you can send compensation back to the Dodgers and say, hey, we will send you this prospect if we can keep the full rights of Gus Varland, meaning you can option him, meaning you can bring him up and down throughout the season. Obviously, that might be an expensive prospect, if you will, you know, somebody desirable, and the Dodgers have their magic pixie dust and he'll become a superstar or whatever. But I think for the development aspect of it and for the arm that you could be getting here, there is actual tangible and quantitative stuff that we can like and see from out of Gus Varland. You can make a case that trade would be worth it to keep this guy more organically in the organization, as opposed to having this 2-week window between now and the end of spring training to decide if you want to keep him.
It was a savvy Rule 5 pick. It surprised everybody, right? It surprised even Gus Varland that he was going to get taken in the Rule 5 draft, just because he did not have a great season last year. The Dodgers tried to start him in Double-A. He did not have any success as a starter. I know his arm action was a little bit kind of messed up and jacked up. And so now he did go to the pen and he had some success, though. And so now he's kind of back in his home, out of the pen. And, I mean, it's a talented guy. Now, remember, Dom, if that is the case where the Brewers say, okay, we're not going to keep you on the major league team, he actually does have to clear waivers. So any other team can grab him and keep him as their own Rule 5 draft pick. But they have to send him back, but he's got to kind of clear waivers. Now that rarely happens, but
right.
You know what? He did perform well enough where maybe a team is like, oh man, this guy, there is something here. There's something to the velocity or something to the breaking ball. I think he does need more seasoning probably, and the Brewers are probably seeing the same thing. And so they're probably, but yeah, he's very intriguing and they'd love to have him in AAA to be a guy that can come up and help out. I do like him. I actually remember seeing him in Beloit way back in the day when he was with the A's in Single A in the Midwest League. And it was a really good arm, really, really good arm. And it seems like every interview that I've seen with him, he seems like got a really good head on his shoulder. So he's going to have a bright big league future. Hopefully the Brewers can retain those rights.
I do think this will be a decision made at the buzzer until you absolutely have to make it. And we'll learn more again on Thursday. If you're listening to this today on Thursday,
We will talk to Matt Arnold, general manager, get a plethora of topics done. And you can follow me on social media for that at @Dom_COTRONEO. It's all in the show notes as well here with Vinny. So, Vinny, I just leave you with this. Is there any concern the lack of lefties, or do you trust somebody else in this bullpen? Because we know it won't be Ethan Small. He was optioned this week. We know it won't be any of the young guns like Abner Urieta, who will pitch in the big leagues this year after what we've seen in spring training so far. 100 miles an hour with a 91 mile an hour hammer. He will be in the big leagues this year. But is there any concern that Hobie Milner is your only lefty coming out of this bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. That's kind of a conversation for a lot of teams. You know, how many lefties out in the bullpen. You do have Yoel Piamps, right? He's got that great changeup. He's kind of a lefty guy. Because of that, he actually needs to work on his slider to get righties out. He does have those reverse splits. Those reverse splits last year had a lot of success against lefties. It is a little bit of a concern. It is. But, you know, you do have Aaron Ashby coming back at some point, so he's going to be able to help out in that regard. But, you know, Hobie Milner at this point is not just a lefty-lefty guy. Now, you do want to match him up against lefties, but he's done a great job. He did a great job against both-handed hitters, and he's going to be asked to get high leverage outs for Craig Counsell. He's earned that trust. And he will have that, you know, perhaps sixth inning leverage type of a bridge situation to pitch through this year. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I mean, if you do have a couple of a big, you know, lefties coming up, it's a little bit of a concern, especially now with that balanced schedule, Dom. You're not just going to have to face, you know, the teams in your division. You have to face everybody. So some teams are going to be stacked with lefties.
Are you going to be a Jets fan now, or are you sticking with the green and gold?
Oh, man, I don't even know what to think about that anymore. You know what? I think it was such a bad ending that I think every fan is just like, oh, whatever. That's my take on it. I don't know. I know you're not a Packer guy, Dom, but as an outsider looking in, what do you think about the whole thing?
I see it kind of like if you want to look to our neighbors in the South, if you want to look at Joe Maddon and Theo Epstein splitting up, you know, with the Cubs. Yeah. Like, hey, we killed a bottle of wine and reminisced. And yeah, I think there was a way for Aaron Rodgers to do that. And with this playing in the public eye, people are frustrated about all that. Yeah. And I believe Aaron's quotes about how he loved Green Bay and things of that nature and wants to keep moving along. But, you know, for me, it was time. And as a total outsider, like, I don't hate the Packers by any means, just because I'm not a Packer guy. I grew up in Dallas, so you can hate me for that. I'm not shy about it. It's all good. I deserve all the hate. It's the worst thing about me. But it was time. I'm fine with it. You know, that concludes our Aaron Rodgers talk here on Brewers Extra Innings. Vinny, thank you as always for the time, my friend. I know we will be visiting throughout the season. It's hard to believe we're 2 weeks away from actual baseball counting down at Wrigley Field. And you can catch all of the action here on WTMJ. Thanks for your time, my friend.
For sure. Had a pleasure, Dom. Anytime.
That's the show. Brewers Extra Innings taped this week because of the Bucks out on the road. They were out here in Phoenix the other night. That was a fun game. Bucks got the dub, much to my son's fandom chagrin. But hey, Bucks are my Eastern Conference team, so I couldn't lose that game, right? Thank you so much for listening. Again, all the info you need is in the show description and in the notes. Again, thank you for listening. We got plenty more coverage coming here from the final 2 weeks of Brewers spring training, so I would encourage you to follow me on social media. You can follow us at 620WTMJ as well. Wherever you need, Twitter, Instagram, social media, whatever it is, we'll have you covered as your home of the Brewers, 620WTMJ. Keep on swinging.